A couple of running backs that might have shades of Reggie Bush in next year's class. We're going to talk about those guys. QB market next season. Which teams can be looking out for a quarterback, future quarterback? And, of course, we got John Harris on. So we're doing either or right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I'm your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And of course, today's episode, man, I got my guy John Harris with me from FootballTakeover.com, and of course, he covers the Houston Texans. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day, and also tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. All right, make your moment sparkle with the jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On NFL Draft listeners get $50 off their purchase of $500 or more. This is a podcast exclusive, and it includes engagement. Yes, use promo code Locked On at your checkout. All right, John Harris, there was something that you wanted to talk about, man. And you said, you know, kind of Reggie Bush. We got into kind of Reggie Bush and where he would be drafted right now. I do want to ask one question because your Houston Texans were really a part of this kind of big draft, as you know, surrounding Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
And it was either Reggie Bush or Mario Williams. So I think both guys didn't really hit their peak of what people thought they would be. But who do you think had the better career of the two guys?
You know, it's so funny. That's a debate we get into all the time, man, about, you know, was Mario the right pick here in Houston? And it's so funny, Eric, because Reggie Bush was the pick. I mean, it was the previous sideline reporter was the guy that I worked radio with, and he has one of the more famous calls of all time as the Texans were playing, and I want to say it was the Titans. It might have been the Titans, maybe the Rams, I can't remember. But the Texans had a lead late in the game. And if they won the game, they weren't going to end up with the number one pick. And so as the game is going down to the end, my buddy who is a sideline reporter he made kind of an inappropriate comment, but he essentially was saying they were messing up the pick of Reggie Bush if they went ahead and won that game. They ended up losing the game. And so it was a fait accompli that Reggie Bush is coming to Houston. David Carr needed a weapon. You had Andre Johnson, who was really starting to turn into Andre Johnson. And Reggie Bush is the guy. I mean, people were buying Texans number 5 jerseys with, you know, or 25 jerseys with Bush on the back, because at that time you couldn't wear a single-digit number. But it was done. And then the Friday before the draft, and obviously way back when, it was a Saturday-Sunday draft. And so Friday night, I remember driving around, and the news was – the Texans have just signed Mario Williams. He'll be the number one pick tomorrow. And I remember almost driving off the road. Like, what?
I forgot that was when guys would sign early.
Yes. And Mario will go into the Sports Business Hall of Fame. I mean, Mario got paid a lot. And you're right. I don't really ever lived up to being the number one pick. And I think it can be tough. I mean, the expectations for the number one pick are so, you know, vast. I mean, even in Cleveland, they don't think Myles Garrett was worthy of the number one pick. A lot of fans don't. I'm like, I'm watching the same games you guys are. Myles Garrett is one of the best.
He's a monster.
He's a monster. But there's so much hype that goes with it. And it just so happened that, yeah, you picked Mario Williams over Reggie Bush. I would have liked to have seen what Reggie would have done in Gary Kubiak's offense and really got an opportunity, kind of stretch his legs and really – use him as kind of the weapon X. I think Gary probably would have used him as eventually. It would have been interesting to see how that would have gone. But Mario did some really good things for the Texans. He had a couple of Pro Bowl years. He just did it while the Texans were 9-7, 9-7. And the year that the Texans broke out, Mario has 5 sacks in the first 5 games. And you're like, okay, here it comes. And he tears his pec in game 6. And the Texans end up going to the playoffs for the first time. And Mario's not a part of that. And had he been a part of that, I mean, that defense was already incredible with Jonathan Joseph, Daniel Manning, Brian Cushing, and, of course, some guy named Watt as a rookie. So I don't know that they really got it wrong. I don't know if they really got it right. Thing is in that draft, I don't even know if you look back and go, anybody got it right. You know, the Bears or the Broncos drafted Cutler, then traded him. The Titans drafted Vince, and it looked good for a while, but then that went sideways.
Right.
I think A.J. Hawk was drafted in that draft as well. Then you had, obviously, Mario at the top, and then Reggie. It was a draft that was hyped, but then not so much. But I got to thinking about Reggie. I had seen a picture of Reggie somewhere, and it got me thinking about where would Reggie be drafted today, because he went number two overall. I mean, that was 2006. He went two overall. I mean, things have changed in 16 years. Cracker, he's the best college football player that I can remember seeing. And I was convinced he was going to be that guy. If used properly, he was going to be that guy. And I just wonder where he'd be drafted now. And I bring that up because, like you said, Bijan Robinson at Texas and then Jahmyr Gibbs, who is now at Alabama, are two guys that look a lot like Reggie Bush. And I just wonder where they go in 2022. And where they go would tell you a lot about where I think teams would have drafted Reggie Bush. It would be really interesting to see where Reggie would get drafted. But I think these two guys, you know, Bijan at Texas and Jahmyr Gibbs, really kind of tell us a lot about where the NFL is, where they're going, and maybe what they want to do with running backs. So I'm really curious to see, because I know in Houston, I'll take either one of them. Which one do I want? Yes, I'll take both. I don't care. I just want a game breaker at running back that can be go in this office, help Davis Mills. And either one of them would work. I don't know that I want to use a first-round pick on a back, though. So I was curious where Reggie Bush would go, because I think that tells us a lot where these two guys would go.
Yeah, well, I think Reggie Bush would go just as high. I mean, he was just so dynamic at USC in all aspects of the game. Now, I know there were some people that felt like, you know, running between the tackles wasn't a strong suit of his. But, you know, and to the NFL, obviously a number two overall pick. He goes to the New Orleans Saints. I believe at the time he broke the record for most receptions in the season for a rookie with 88 receptions that year. But, you know, he shared the backfield with Deuce McAllister. He was able to contribute on special teams. They obviously made a deep Super Bowl run, I believe.
They got to the NFC Championship. They lost to the Lovers Bears,
Okay, yeah. So, they went to the NFC Championship game. He was a big contributor in that. But I felt like throughout his career, people were still trying to figure out, okay, how exactly do you utilize him? And I think we see a guy like Christian McCaffrey. That's probably the closest thing in the sense of not the biggest of guys, you know, around 6 feet tall, around 200 pounds. But, okay, how exactly do we utilize him? And at Stanford, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he was running – 20 tackles outside. I think today's day and age, especially with that outside zone, I don't think you have to be the biggest of backs. You just have to have good vision and understand when to put your foot in the ground and get north. And that's what Reggie Bush excelled. But I think more so than anything, the threat of him out of the backfield, although it was good then, I think it'd be even more polarizing now. And then guys like Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson out of Texas. If those two guys can get that element of their game right and really kind of take it to the next level, talk about having some of the shades of Reggie Bush and that type of running ability, that type of dynamic ability. I think Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, this is a guy who right now, I have to look at Bet Online, you know, I'm one of the friends of the podcast, but I have to look at their odds for Heisman.
Yeah.
Gibbs is a guy who I kind of maybe put some money on that because I'd assume that the odds won't be in – you know, too crazy right now. You'll probably be able to get some good money off of it. You put $100 down. But I think he's going to go crazy in that Alabama offense. I think what he did at Georgia Tech was kind of the tipping point. I remember watching him as a true freshman.
Yep.
You know, Reggie Bush was a comparison that they were making. And they're like, hey, you know, oh, man, this guy Reggie Bush. Now, I wouldn't say that. And I watched Reggie Bush's entire college career at USC very closely. I wouldn't say that. But a terrific prospect and a guy I think potentially can win the Heisman.
What's interesting about Jahmyr Gibbs to me is how, and of course this one hits close to home because I've known Bill O'Brien for over 30 years, is how Bill's going to use him. And I think having a guy like Arian Foster in his first year in Houston and how Bill was using Arian Foster. Now, we never had a back of Arian's caliber after that. You know, Arian in 2015 tore his Achilles after having a groin injury. And so we didn't have, much more with Bill O'Brien after that. But in 2014, it was really interesting to see how Bill used Arian Foster a lot of times out of backfield. So I would imagine some of those things are going to be built into this Alabama offense because I don't know where the receiving game – look, they got Jermaine Burton. He transferred over to Alabama. They're not going to be hurting for wide receivers at Alabama. However, it's a new crew that is going to be working with Bryce Young for the most part outside of Cameron Latu. So how do they use Gibbs in the passing game? And that's where I really think he could be a problem, a massive problem. And that's where I think Reggie was a massive problem for teams, was in the passing game. You tried to match up with him back then when teams weren't playing – when they weren't playing sub packages, they were trying to play their base unit, and the Wills got to run with Reggie down the seam. Like, forget it, man. That's a no brainer. You're throwing to him all day. Obviously, defenses have evolved a little bit as they have to attack a guy like Gibbs. Bijan to me is the better runner. I think he can grow into a receiver, but I think he's the better runner. But Gibbs to me is the one that is more exciting because of that ability in the passing game, where he can really get out in space and hurt a lot of teams. And I just want to see Bill O'Brien use him to the utmost. And I think Alabama's offense could be really scary if Gibbs is really maximized there in Tuscaloosa.
Everybody's really excited about this running back class. I'm excited to see, where these guys go, where they head. You talked about kind of, just the value of the running back and not going as high as what we saw with Reggie Bush. But in recent years, we've still had some guys go first round. We're going to see where Gibbs and both Robinson go. And obviously, it depends on the season that they have. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the quarterback market next season. Which teams might be in the market for a quarterback? And will they be able to get the guys that they want? At BlueNile.com, you can celebrate all of life's special moments from creating a custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece at all the prices that you won't find at your traditional jeweler. All right, whether you are ready to pop the question or you are celebrating a milestone moment, find a jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Build the engagement ring of her dreams or celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry. No matter what you're looking for, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. Make your moment sparkle with a jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners and Locked On NFL Draft listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast is exclusive and includes engagement. All right, use promo code Locked On. Again, use promo code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured. It ships free. And then it arrives in discreet packaging and won't give away anything about what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace at BlueNile.com. We here at Locked On NFL Draft want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And definitely excited to continue talking about some of these college football prospects. And right now we have a couple teams. I have a couple teams listed that I think might be in the market for a quarterback, but I know you're very familiar with one, and I'm not gonna lie, I've been going to bat for Davis Mills.
Yeah,
a lot of people I feel like have been just really overlooking Davis Mills heading into his second year. I feel like if Davis Mills was a top 15 pick, I don't know if people would look over him as much as they have. But this is a guy that came into college football or NFL inexperienced, only have 14 starts or 14 games played under his belt. What are the talks surrounding Davis Mills right now? And can maybe, the Houston Texans potentially be in the market for a quarterback next season?
It's interesting. The talk here is really, I would say, split. It's probably 70-30 in favor of Davis. I think, Eric, just because I think people here want to see him succeed. But then there are some that's looked at his flaws as a rookie last year and keep pointing those out. And I'm like, well, when you were in a job the very first year, how good were you? I mean, I remember the first year that I coached and I was going back and doing some self-scout at the end of the year. And I'm like, why did we block this way? What was I doing? Holy cow, I'm an idiot. So I think Davis will get better and better. And, going out in the OTAs and seeing him, things are happening faster. His decision-making is a little bit better. So I think people are still on the fence. They're willing to give him a shot. And I think part of that, Eric, is they want hope. They want to feel hopeful in their guy, and that if Davis Mills is that guy and they can see that hope come to fruition, then all those first-round picks that they're going to end up getting from the Cleveland Browns and all that draft capital doesn't have to be spent on a quarterback. And, man, how valuable will that be if those first-rounders can be, corners or D-linemen or, offensive linemen, running backs, whatever the case might be, as opposed to going out and getting a young quarterback in a year. But I know this draft class is going to force some teams to step back and go, hey, wait a second. We have this guy, but should we be looking for a quarterback because it's this list of guys that includes Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Phil Jurkovic, Spencer Rattler, Devin Leary. I mean, they're just – you can go on and on and on, and you could probably have five, six guys with first-round grades as quarterbacks, but are there that many teams that are going to end up needing a quarterback? And like you said, the Texans could end up being one of them if Davis does not develop. I think the ones that are interesting to me, Eric, are teams that made first-round draft picks last year. Like, for example, the New York Jets. And I know Jets fans are like, no, Zach Wilson's our guy. Zach's our guy. But Zach didn't have a great rookie year. And if in year two, it's really not coming together, and they've given him everything you could possibly want.
Have you paid attention to any of the reports coming out of New York right now?
It sounds like he's doing better.
No, and it sounds like he's been a little shoddy with his accuracy, which is something. I don't know if a lot of people foresaw coming, but I mean, he was a guy heading into OTAs. And again, we're talking about OTAs right now.
Right.
A lot of people were expecting, this is going to be the guy that's going to have the best second year out of all the guys. But right now, at least during the offseason, and I haven't heard much from Justin Fields, how he's doing, or Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, I see what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers and Trey Lance.
Yeah.
But the things out of New York, I've heard the most negative things said about Wilson.
And it's sort of, and it goes to my point, Eric, and that is, if Wilson carries that into the season, then and plays that way throughout the season, if you're the Jets in a year in which quarterbacks are, low-hanging fruit in some sense, do you cut bait after 2 years and say, you know what, forget it. We got the number two pick in the draft. We'll get either, well, depending on what happens at one, we'll get C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young at number two. We got to jump on that right now because we're realizing Zach Wilson isn't that guy. And that's a decision I don't know if I'm – I mean, Joe Douglas has really got his hands full. But those are the ones that are really curious. You bring up Justin Fields, too. It's a new staff. It's a new GM. If Justin Fields isn't cutting it, and I would say that the Bears probably have lesser talent around Fields than what Joe Douglas has been putting around Zach Wilson. But I think Fields feels like the way that he played down the stretch, there were some positives. I think Fields is actually going to be okay. But if he's not, if Zach Wilson isn't, then what do those teams do? Those teams are totally set up to win, but the Jets are, I think, a little bit closer. I think the Jets, if they get good play from Zach Wilson, could be kind of a dark horse team to watch in the AFC. But if he's not cutting it, are the Jets in the market? I think they could be. Are the Bears going to be in the market if Justin Fields isn't doing it? I think the Bears should be, especially with a new GM and a new head coach, at least the Jets, Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, they drafted Zach Wilson to be that guy. So maybe it falls on them. I would imagine they get rid of Joe and Robert after 2 years. But, and again, crazier things have happened in the NFL. But those are two teams that I really keep an eye on top of what does Seattle do? How do they go about things? What happens in Cleveland? I mean, I know that sounds like, whoa, wait, they got.
I know, they just gave the guy over $200 million guaranteed. And I think the situation is kind of turning out to be even more dramatic, if it wasn't already, but even more dramatic than what a lot of people were expecting. So that's not very ideal. Do you think the Atlanta Falcons, that's another team, right, where you have Marcus Mariota. He's on a short-term contract there. They did draft Desmond Ridder in the third round, and we'll see, what kind of start to his career he has. But we all know that when you're drafted in, day two or day three, you don't have as long of a leash as other people tend to get. So if you are, a team like Atlanta, who I think right now might be projected to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, maybe, bottom three.
Right.
Well, if you're picking top three and you see a guy like Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or even Will Levis, if guys in the, if he really is as good as people think he can be.
Yep.
Well, how do you say, oh, no, we're gonna pass up on Will Levis, even though we haven't seen exactly what we would like to see out of Desmond Ridder? I think that's going to be a big conversation around the Atlanta Falcons.
And go back to what we started the segment about, Eric, and talking about Davis Mills. It's kind of I don't want to say it's the exact same situation, but because Davis is a third-round pick, I think everybody is quick to pull the trigger. Like, look, you can't win with a third-round pick. I mean, Russell Wilson's the outlier. You can't win with a third-round pick. I don't know that you can't, but that dude has to be really, really special. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Davis Mills can be that guy. But because, to your point, because a third-round pick has a shorter leash, then maybe the Texans end up looking. They didn't look in 2022 because for them it just didn't make sense with the list of quarterbacks. So I think Ridder starts earlier than later. We've talked about that. I think he starts earlier than later. I think he gets a true shot to take that job. And how he performs, I think, will tell everything about what Atlanta does. I think in the end there are going to be 5-6 teams that are needing a quarterback of the teams that we mentioned. And there's probably going to be a sneaky team, like one we're not even thinking about. Like Lamar Jackson's like, look, I want to go play football in the CFL. I'm done. Now Baltimore needs a quarterback. So, look, you just never know with Lamar. He just, the hashtag built different. He thinks different. And I like it. I want to see him stay at Baltimore. And I think he will. But you just never know. I mean, heck, after 2020, we didn't know Deshaun was going to ask for a trade. And so we're totally different from that. So I think there will be another one that'll be looking for a quarterback. It's just a matter of how many of those teams that drafted him in 2021 will end up looking for one in 2023. That, I think, is going to be interesting.
That definitely will be. And that's something we'll keep an eye on for. But coming up next, we're going to talk about either or. All right, John Harris is going to have me pick between two different things. We're going to get to that and more, but first we want to talk to you about our good folks over at Built Bar and how they have the new caramel brownie. All right, don't you love a chewy, chocolatey brownie? I know I do. I know my wife does. I know my kids do. They're probably cooking brownies right now. All right, but what about a caramel brownie with a caramel swirl on it, on top of it? And crazy thing about it is jam-packed with 17 grams of protein. You know you can only get this in one bar, and that's a Built Bar. All right. You are in luck because caramel brownie bars are available now at built.com right now. And you got to act fast because I'm telling you, they go fast. And listen, if y'all don't buy them, I'll tell you who is going to buy them. Eric Crocker here, who has the brownie batter ones already. Got a whole box there. I got an assortment box here. Got a bunch of different flavors here. I got the granola bar box here. And listen, I'm just waiting to add the caramel brownie box to this collection that I already have, all right? And I eat those after my workouts and whatnot, or if it's late at night and I want something that's a healthier snack, I turn to these Built Bars, all right? The best part about Built Bars, especially the caramel brownie or any of the other ones, man, they're covered in 100% real chocolate, like for real, real chocolate. With Built, you don't have to sacrifice tasty and healthy. You can have both. And all Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs much better and more efficiently, and it provides a ton of health benefits. All right, there are a million reasons that you should try Built Bars, but for now, let's try this caramel brownie, and it will rock your world. All right, that is not an understatement. With Built, the tasty is the new healthy. Go to Built.com right now and get your box of caramel brownies. All right. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. I'm excited about those. I'm telling you, I got the brownie batters right here. I'm just waiting to get the caramel brownie. They didn't have them when I ordered last week, but I will be getting those.
Man, you're making me hungry, Eric, man. Jeez, man.
I know. I just ate, too, and it's making me hungry as well. I can't. I got to lay off. It's getting a little late now. We're approaching 8 p.m. Central Time, so I got to stay off the snacks and everything for the rest of the night. Probably just hang out and binge watch Stranger Things. That's when all the wanting the snacks kicks in. It's like when I'm up late at night, and I think I have about 4 more episodes to watch, and it's midnight, and it's like, man, I'm getting a little hungry. But I turn to these Built Bars, man. But let's talk about either or. I know you got some questions for me, so let's hear it.
Yeah, I always come with some that I – you know, some of them to me are just ones I'm driving around, the car, and I just, man, what would I do? Either this or that. So I've come up with a few, and I thought about this because I saw there was a tweet that came out today, and it said best route runner in the NFL. Ooh. And at the very end, it showed Justin Jefferson. So it got me thinking about this, bringing the draft in. better value pick, Justin Jefferson at number 20 in 2020 or LSU teammate Ja'Marr Chase for the Bengals at number 3?
Oh, wow. Bengals, I think the Bengals picked him at 5.
Five, sorry.
Close enough, five. Though. Close enough. Yeah, top five. We'll just five. Say that. Yep, top five. Yep. I think you have to go with Justin Jefferson, right? I mean, this is a guy who has had over 3,000 yards in his first 2 years combined, which is amazing. He's been second-team All-Pro both years. You know, it was a risky thing there because they actually traded away Stephon Diggs to the Buffalo Bills and with that first-round pick replaced it with
Justin Jefferson. Yeah.
Justin Jefferson. I don't know. I was about to call him Juwan Jennings. I don't know why, but Justin Jefferson. All right. So, I mean, you just replaced him, a guy that was playing at Pro Bowl level. We've seen what Diggs has been able to do. And then that big-time value in return. That's something that you don't see very often. I think the fact that it has played out the way it has without you having to being able to pick a guy top five, and he wasn't the first, second, third, fourth. He might have been the sixth receiver off the board, and you were able to get him a guy that plays at an all-pro level. So I definitely have to lean towards Jennings there.
I am just such a fan of Ja'Marr Chase. You're right. Value.
Jennings. I call him Jennings again. Oh, gosh. Justin Jefferson.
You got 49ers on the brain, man. Juwan Jennings, dude. That I'm telling you, that I've seen him at the Senior Bowl. I was like, this guy's going to make somebody's roster, and he's going to make some big plays. He won't be the number one wide receiver, but he's going to be the number two or three, and he's going to make some plays, and he has. The key word was value, and I think getting Jefferson at 20. But, man, when you think back to Ja'Marr Chase versus Penei Sewell and everybody going back and forth, the Bengals pick Chase, and you're like, oh, you got to go lineman. I'm screaming, you got to go lineman. You went into trenches, and then Chase has just been everything he was at LSU. And then some. Speaking of, back in 2019, and I think we may have talked about this a little bit, the Alabama wide receiver core was Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, and John Metchie. The LSU receiver group was Terrace Marshall, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson. Which was the better wide receiver group?
Oh, man. I mean, ballers on both sides, dynamic on both sides, but I think you got to go with LSU. I mean, Justin Jefferson, got the name right this time. Yeah. Justin Jefferson had, 20 receiving touchdowns? And then Chase had like another 18, 19 receiving touchdowns. And Terrace Marshall chipped in with another 13 receiving touchdowns. And I know Joe Burrow was the quarterback, and he threw for a ton of yards, a ton of touchdowns. I believe he broke a record for like most touchdown passes in the season. I mean, he was spectacular that year. But those receivers, I mean, all you got to do is throw it in the vicinity of the guys, and the guys are coming down with the rock. Now, that doesn't take anything away from what Alabama had. Ruggs, he was a speedster, terrific run-after-catch guy. Jeudy, one of the better route runners I've seen in recent years. And obviously, we've seen, John Metchie, the way he's produced. And Devontae Smith, I mean, he's probably one of the better all-around receivers that I've seen in recent years. So, terrific receivers over at Alabama, but I definitely have to go with the LSU trio.
How about in that game in 2019, six wide receivers went in the first round?
Crazy.
And two others went in the second round in Marshall and Metchie. And Metchie, I get to see every day. He's been working on the side field, getting ready. And hopefully he says he'll be ready to go by the season, which would be really, really cool. Okay, this one.
By the way, if Metchie would have never torn his ACL, I'm not certain would not have been a first round pick.
Yeah, I don't think
there's a chance that could have happened. So.
Yeah, I don't think we would have gotten him. So, I mean, I don't want to say thank God for an ACL tear, but thank God for an ACL tear. All right, you got to project a little bit with this one because I don't think either guy will start the season as the starter. More touchdown passes as a rookie, either Tennessee Titans Malik Willis or Carolina Panthers quarterback Matt Corral.
I'll go with Carolina. I feel like with Matt Corral, they're not going to utilize the threat of his legs as much, which is there, but they will lean a little bit more on him throwing the rock. And when you look at the receivers that he has, Robbie Anderson, all right, DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall, who we just mentioned, and he's like the third or fourth receiver.
Yeah.
And then being able to throw the ball to Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, I'd have to lean towards Matt Corral.
All right, last one. Kansas City Chiefs. Boy, we need Ryan for this one. But the Chiefs decide to draft a weapon. Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't quite what they wanted him to be. But it's kind of the back they're looking for. But the Chiefs, yeah, they got to bounce back. The AFC West is tough this year. They go, I don't know, 11-6. They get bounced in the divisional playoff round at Buffalo. So they're drafting, I don't know, 25-ish. And they decide to draft a weapon. Bringing all of our conversation together, either Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson.
Oh, man. I mean, I think I got to go with Gibbs. But I've seen more of Gibbs. And I know how talented Robinson is. But I've just seen more of Gibbs. And what I've seen, I just think that's somebody that's special. And he's off the radar because he played at Georgia Tech. Yep. And once people get a glimpse, and again, not just playing at Georgia Tech, the quarterback situation was iffy. It wasn't like he was surrounded by a ton of weapons. When people get a chance to really see him this year in Alabama's offense, I think they're going to be blown away. Whereas, you know, Texas, shoes, I mean, is Robinson even the best player on his offense? I think it was Xavier Worthy. And what he's doing there as a freshman, and I mean, he's only getting better. I mean, that's a guy who's going first round in a couple years. So, yeah, I'm going to lean towards Gibbs.
I think what's going to be telling is, as I said, they go 11-6. Hopefully one of those six is a loss to us. But with how they're able to move the football, if their receiver parts around Kelce are okay, I might make a case for Bijan Robinson. Because Bijan could be more of the back that the actual running back that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is kind of missing right now. Whereas if they can't get any of those other weapons involved in the passing game, it might be better for them to go get Gibbs. Because I think Gibbs right now is a better overall receiver than Bijan is. I think Bijan can be special in the run game. And he'll have to learn how to be a better receiver. Whereas Gibbs, I think, has all of it. I think he's got the electric explosiveness. It's going to be really fun, like you said, to see him in an Alabama offense. And watch, the first week of the year, Gibbs goes crazy. And all these national writers are like, hey, Jahmyr Gibbs, look at this guy. It's like they're going to be introducing him to the country because at Georgia Tech, he was so hidden.
I need to see what his bet online. Let's see, bet online. Heisman odds. Gibbs. Let's see where he's at. Let's see. NCAA futures. Here we go. All right. Let's see if he's on here. You got CJ Stroud, Bryce Young.
Yep.
Hold on, where's Gibbs at? Let's see. I'm scrolling down. Oh man, do they not have him on here?
You're scrolling a while, man.
Unless I missed him, I don't even think they have him on here. I mean, that's how much people were sleeping on him. So he has to have some odds somewhere. We'll try to find those. And if here he goes. I just missed him. Okay, no, he has the fifth best odds at plus 1400.
Okay, look, Vegas. They don't build all those big hotels and stuff for nothing. So, the rest of the nation may not be up on Jahmyr Gibbs just yet, but Vegas knows what's going on, man.
Yeah, plus 1,400. And then just a few slots behind him, Bijan Robinson at plus 2,800.
Yeah, that might be pretty good value, especially in a Big 12, man. The defenses have gotten better, especially the one at Baylor. Oh, boy, man. Your guy, Jalen Petrie, by the way, I may have said that earlier. You'd love Jalen Petrie, man. As a DB, you would love the way that dude plays. I can't wait to for the NFL people to see what that rookie from Baylor can
do. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are excited about him. And we're excited to hear from y'all. What are you thinking about some of these Heisman odds? All right, you got to, again, betonline.net. That is their number one spot for you to go and kind of find out some of these things. Are you putting money on Will Anderson Jr. at plus 1,400? I don't know. I'm not going to hype up BetOnline too much right now. They didn't pay for a spot on this episode. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And for your second listen of the day, you can listen to myself, Brian Peacock. You can also listen to my co-host, Ryan Tracy, who's not here today, but Locked On Chiefs, and plenty more around the Locked On Network. But that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Going to have a guy, Rob Ring, on with us. All right, y'all. Peace.